This evening, thank you, will come from the book of James, the fifth chapter, verses 13 through 18. James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruits.
Well, good evening. It is certainly good to see you once again, and hopefully you've stayed open to James chapter 5. We're going to springboard off of there here in just a moment. It's so good to see everybody tonight. What a great opportunity we have to be here to worship our God together. And it is that idea of being together that we're really going to build off of a little bit tonight as well. When we read a passage like this in James chapter 5, specifically, I got nothing on this screen. I look back this time. Did everybody notice that? Even though I've got nothing here, I made sure we're still going. If that's, oh, now I've got it here. Oh, we're in good shape. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. When we think about this passage in James chapter 5, what do we think about? It's at the closing of a book, a pretty powerful book that talks about a lot of really in-depth kind of baseline doctrinal things. But when we read this passage here in James chapter 5, I hope that when we read it, we really get the sense of the power that lies within prayer. Think about the passage that we have that was read for us from James chapter 5 there in verse 16 specifically. The New King James that I use, it says, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you use the NIV or you have that there close by, it says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The New Living Translation will render it this way, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and wonderful results. This passage here in James chapter 5 points in every way to the power that lies within prayer. The example even that's given to us here by James of Elijah praying that there be no rain, and there was no rain, and then praying again that there would be rain, and there was rain. I mean, the point of that is not when we want it to rain, we can pray and God can produce it, or if it's raining too much, that we can pray and God will stop it. That's not the point. The point is simply, there is great power in prayer. Jesus really went to great lengths to talk about that specifically. Talking specifically about the power of prayer. There's a few passages in the book of Matthew, straight from Jesus, who will talk directly about the power that lies within prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, Jesus here says, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. But when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask of him. One page deeper into your Bible, in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 7, Jesus again says this, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? One other passage in Matthew chapter 21, a little bit deeper into the book. In Matthew chapter 21, in verse 21 and 22, Jesus again says this. Is that right? Oh, yeah, I'm in Matthew 20. I was like, that's not right. Let's try 21, like I said. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 21. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be done. And all things, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Now, I want you just for a moment to think about these four passages. The one passage in James and the three passages from Jesus, from his own mouth in the book of Matthew. Although those words are different, the point is the same. There is incredible power in prayer. For us, the question is why? Why is that? Well, the answer to that is simple. There's incredible power in prayer because of what is being tapped into. Prayer continues, even to this day, to boggle my mind sometimes. There are times where I find myself kneeling in prayer, going to God in prayer, struggling with comprehending that He has made this available to me. Struggling with comprehending that the creator of everything, the sustainer of this life, the one who has all power in all ways, is listening to what I have to say. Now, because I struggle with grasping that, doesn't make it anything less of what I believe. But I want us to begin tonight to really grab hold of that. Prayer is a powerful tool to the Christian. It is something that God has made available to His people. It is an avenue that He has opened up to man who is sincere in his heart, who is willing to speak to God, that God is there willing to listen. I ask that in no way ever you take that avenue of prayer for granted. Sometimes we fall temptation and we fall prey to the idea that, you know, prayer is just something that we do all the time. It's just something that happens before the meal. It's something that happens here at our worship service at the beginning. And, you know, a lot of times we'll pray here at the end, and that's just the way that it goes. But we can never lose sight, not even when we are here together, what's really occurring when we are praying to God together. What a powerful moment that is. What a powerful moment that is. So my question to you is this. Do you believe in the power of prayer? Do you believe that? Jesus, from his own word, says, if you believe in the power of prayer, look at what all is opened up to you. So I want you to hold on to that thought. That baseline, really. That's really what it is. I want you to hold on for just a second, that baseline of that there is incredible power in prayer. And tonight, for just a moment, we're going to take that idea, that base, that foundation of what prayer is all about, and we're going to use it in a very specific biblical line. Again, if you've got your New Testaments handy, open it up to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4 is where we're going to be. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. All throughout the New Testament, not just here in 1 John, all throughout the New Testament, we see God giving to us through his word the admonition to love one another. Again, not just here, but everywhere through the New Testament. That admonition for each and every one of us to show our love, to show our care, to understand, I'll get to this and more in a moment, but to understand the bond, the connection that we all have. It is different. It is unique. It is special. The bond, the connection that we have with one another. I can't explain it any better than that outside of saying it is a special relationship. It is a unique bond. Now, what are we bonded by? Well, we're bonded by our relationship with Christ, and that's what makes it unique. That's what makes it special. There's a pretty famous English poet named Elizabeth Barrett Browning, and way back in 1850, she published a book of poems, and the book of poems was entitled Sonnets from the Portuguese. And you may not have any idea who Elizabeth Barrett Browning is. You may not be able to speak Portuguese. I can't speak Portuguese. You might not even know what a sonnet is. I'll stand up here right now and tell you, I don't know what a sonnet is. I didn't look that up this week. I just was okay with that ignorance. I know it's a poem, but I've got a lot of things in my head, and I just didn't need what a sonnet was up in there. So it's a poem. That's as far as I can go. Maybe there's someone else that can help you with that later, not me. So don't. If you know what it is, maybe. No, if you know what it is, I don't even really want to know either. So just maybe someone else, but again, I'm okay with not knowing. But sonnet number 43, if you don't know what a sonnet is or you don't know who this woman is, you know what this is. Sonnet number 43 in that book, which is easily given as the greatest love poem of all time. And the very first words of that poem is this. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. Now, it's much longer than that. That's the only line that I can give you tonight. But I want us to think about that just for a second. If this is something that we would do for our brethren, make a list of all the ways that we love them, we showcase that love, would prayer make that list? Maybe we would put on there, we'd call them, or we check in on them, or, you know, we're willing to do things for them. But what about prayer? Is prayer on that list? What I want us not tonight to lose sight of, especially when it comes to our brethren, the power that's in prayer. Why? Because we have the most special of bond. And maybe you felt it. You have opportunities to travel around and you worship with another group, maybe a group of folks that you've never met before, but the warmth that you can sometimes feel, us being here, it may feel like we've been here forever, but we haven't. 3 months, that's as long as we've been here, just a few months. But the bonds that we have isn't built on time, it's built on Christ. And that's what we have to grab hold of. I'll use Tim Arden, for example, mainly because you're in my sight line now and Dwayne is long moved. He's been here. I used him a couple of times. He hasn't been back here again. He's over here somewhere. He's long gone. So now it's Tim Arden. He's going to have to be the one. And then they'll move, and then I'll move to Matt Maudlin will be next. And soon there'll be no one sitting over here. Everybody will be just over here. By way of example, I'll use the Arden family. just a few weeks ago, Georgia is going to have a surgery. And for me personally, I was touched by that. I was thinking about that. I was praying by that. I communicated with them, as I know all of you did as well. And you think about why. Where did that care? Where did that compassion? Where did that come from? Did it spring off of a decades-long friendship that Tim and I have had? Did it spring off of, you know, Sarah and I were in school together 20 years ago? No, I met them in December of just last year, months. But that is built on that relationship that we share in Christ. That's what makes it so strong. Now, I look forward to decades from now where we can look back and say, hey, we've been friends for decades, and all of those things that come with that. But it is the bond that we have with each other. And it may be, even for those brethren in other places that we don't even know, that we've not ever met. But a brother or your sister that you hear is struggling maybe with something, and you feel for them. Why? You don't even know them. But that relationship that they share with Christ. Let me share something with you from the Apostle Paul, specifically from his writings. He was one who was apt to pray for the brethren, for other brethren. And he's where I take my cues from. Look at Paul. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. That without ceasing, as he writes to those brethren in Rome, I make mention of you always in my prayer. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, I thank my God always concerning you, as he writes to the brethren in Corinth. To the brethren in Ephesus, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. To the brethren in Philippi, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always, and in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. To the brethren in Colossae, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. To the brethren in Thessalonica and 1 Thessalonians, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. In 2 Thessalonians, therefore, we also pray always for you. To Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and the last words we have recorded from Paul. Without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day. You know, it's easy for us to step back and to say, well, hey, Paul had a great relationship with Timothy. Hey, he spent a long time in Ephesus and in Corinth. But I'll tell you this, as we study through your Bible, there's no indication he spent any time in Colossae. And he's writing to those brethren that he's never seen or ever met. And he says, I'm praying always for you. Because Paul understood the bond that he had with them. The bond that we have as Christians, the bond that we have with Christ is so unique. It is so special. We need to be praying for each other. I cannot produce for you biblically a stronger, more powerful tool that we've been given to showcase our love for brethren than prayer. We have to be about it. And we have to be about it all the time. This day, already this day, we've had tremendous prayers given publicly already, including the one tonight. Thinking about our brethren who right now are struggling with things. What our brethren in Houston gone through last week. We've talked significantly about that. And what our brethren in Florida are going through right now. You might not know one person in the state of Florida. But I tell you, there's a lot of Christians down there that are dealing with a lot of stuff. We've just moved from there, where we were there 6 years. And we've contacted and we've talked to lots of friends that we have there. And they are boarding themselves up. And I know a lot of you have friends and family there that is on your mind. And it's a concern of yours. And it needs to be a concern of yours. And it needs to be on your mind. But because those things are concerning, because those things are on our mind, I want you to understand tonight, there is nothing better that can be done than praying. Nothing better that can be done. And here we are, together. I don't know how many, 250 of us or so. What a great opportunity, a powerful opportunity that we have to pray together specifically for our brethren who are dealing right now with the difficulties this world has to offer. But God's ready to listen. There is tremendous power in the opportunity we have right now to pray together. Morgan's going to come to the front. He's going to offer a prayer for us. The elders, as Ted alluded to at the very beginning of our service, the elders have asked that all of us kind of pull ourselves to the front, forward. And we're going to offer this prayer together, hand in hand, if that needs to be the case. Praying for our brethren, needing our prayer. What a great opportunity we have. And I think it's important for us to take advantage of it. So Morgan's going to come to the front. I encourage everybody to make their way a little bit closer so we can, as a family, pray for these brethren down in Florida.
While you're moving down here, this is more than a bit unusual. It's quite unusual for us. Everybody move in tight. Let's put our arms around each other. As he said, we're a family, and we're going to be a family here. Pray together and hold hands and talk to God and bring this before God. And just a few words real quickly. You know, a lot of us do have very close family and friends down there. There's sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, in-laws. A lot of us have extremely close friends in that area. Some of you may not know anybody, but there's a lot of people we're very close to that are facing some difficult things tonight, so we're going to pray about that. And as Ted mentioned at the beginning, this storm's already downgraded to a Category 2 right now, which was not supposed to happen, so maybe that's some of our prayers answered already. Maybe it's just the course of nature that God's allowed to happen, but we're still going to take this before God at this time. So let's pray together. Jehovah, our Father and our God, you are so powerful and so mighty. This is your creation. And Father, these storms that are on our mind right now are part of your creation. The power that they exhibit is beyond our comprehension, Father, and yet you made this earth to function the way it does, and you alone have control over the hurricanes and the storms, the things that are beyond anything that we can even begin to understand in the way that they work. And Father, our hearts have been touched by what's happened in Houston in the last few weeks. We know that Ross and Katie are there and so many other Christians that we know and people that have just been hit with devastating things for this life and even people that have lost their lives, Christians that have lost their lives, Father. And we ask that you would be with the people there and help them to recover, help them to trust in you, help them to get back on their feet and get back to a normal life serving you as quickly as possible. And Father, as Hurricane Irma is bearing down on Florida, we ask that you would be with all those there. We have so many close friends and family members there, and Father, it affects people even beyond the state of Florida. We know that Barb has Crystal and her family in South Carolina, and the way that the storm surge affects that area, and so many friends that we have and family in the states north of Florida that could be impacted by this as well. Father, we're thankful that this is downgraded to where it is, but we ask that you would continue to be with our family and friends there, that you would, if you would see fit, that you would divert this away from them, but if not, Father, help them to weather and endure. Father, we're not so concerned about the belongings of this life, but we pray for their lives and their safety. We ask you to help them to make it through this and through the night and the next few days. Help them all to recover and get back to normal life quickly. Father, we trust in you, and we know that no matter what happens, that you're in control, that things happen according to your will. And if things don't go the way that we ask, Father, we trust in you, and we will continue to serve you with all of our heart and all of our faith. But we come before you begging you on their behalf at this time. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayer. We know that we don't deserve, but we know you care about us and love us as your children, and we thank you for hearing us. Again, we ask that you would comfort them and comfort us with our anxiety at this time. It's in your Son, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.
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 So let's all head back to our seats now. Once we're seated, Jeremy's going to offer a brief invitation, and then we'll have the invitation song, and then we'll have the announcements and closing song like we typically do.
there really isn't a great segue from where we just were to where we're headed. But really, it comes down to understanding that a relationship with God, I mean, it directs everything in our life. It is the driving force. Ultimately, our relationship with God is a driving force to our relationships with each other. It is the defining relationship, that relationship with God. And we're going to sing the song of invitation, and it gives us an opportunity to think about that. And maybe you're here tonight, and you've been touched in some way, and you recognize that your relationship with God just isn't what it needs to be. We want you to know that there's an opportunity to do something about that, even today. And maybe we can help you with that. We're going to sing this song. We encourage each and every one of you to think about it. And if we can help you in any way, let us know as we stand and sing this song together.
Times of service, I wanted to say, let me get going here. I started thinking about something and I lose track pretty easy. So visitors, I appreciate the visitors here and hope they can come back anytime. Anytime they're available to come back and worship with us. We appreciate your presence. I don't have any mention to sick tonight. I know there's probably some out there. They just haven't gotten to me. Traveling, the Hubers, the Shaws, and David Fromm have been mentioned as traveling. And the only other announcement I have is the junior high school and sixth graders are meeting at the Stocktons tonight. So if there's nothing else from the elders, we'll be led in a closing song and a closing prayer, if you'll be standing.
Just the first verse of 7:16.
Sing to me of heaven, sing that song of peace.